Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dennis Neufeld, and I'm here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry team getting ready to have another study called The Bible on Trial, and we're glad you are here with us today. We've had quite a morning trying to get on. For some reason, the credit card that we use to pay for our studio was not, it's supposed to be on automatic renewal, and it didn't automatically renew, so we frantically, thankfully, Rick is here, and we frantically got back on 1 minute before we were to go on the air. And look, it's just nick of time, exactly. And a lot of times, that's the way God does things. So let us have prayer, and then we'll do some little housekeeping, and then we'll get on with our study. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day where we can come aside for a few minutes and study to know the truth. Give us peace. Help us to take deep breaths. Please put from our minds all of those things that weigh on us today and help us to join you in spirit and in truth. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette. Good morning. Nice to see you. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
You know what? It's nice to have Dr. Don back here with us, isn't it, Rick?
It is. Very, very nice.
Sunshine.
Yeah. Instead of the liquid sunshine up in Chehalis. Looks like Linda's on. You want
to? Oh, morning, Linda. Glad to have you with us.
And I had a very auspicious week. I had an absolutely incredible experience getting a root canal. It just went like clockwork. It just went. I could not believe how God opened doors, one thing right after the other. You don't call in the day before and get a doctor's appointment for anything. And I called in and they said, we'll see you next week. And then all of a sudden the lady said, oops, I just had a cancellation. Can you come in tomorrow at 8? That's for my regular dentist. Then after that, I was told that I had to have a root canal. They said, let's call over to the doctor that we use, Dr. Toledo in Redlands. And the counter person said, yeah, we got you one and an intake appointment 2:45 on Thursday. This was on Wednesday. That's pretty quick.
Yeah, it is.
I'm driving down toward Redlands and I get a call from the office. We just had a cancellation. Can you come in right now? And literally, I turned my signal on and pulled into the office.
So the new healthcare system is working.
Yeah, boy. I don't think it has anything to do with that, at least just not yet. But I will tell you.
It reminds me of a saying that I heard, or that's as interesting as a root canal.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I have to tell you, I didn't experience any pain. It was uncomfortable, you know, having your mouth open for an hour and feeling all of the bone conduction. And for somebody who's got good hearing, that can be really interesting. I'm telling you. And since then, I haven't experienced any pain whatsoever. And it's absolutely amazing. And see, I credit God with this. Obviously, the skill of the dentists. I credit God with this because I do believe that we are right on the cusp of certain things happening that I will not be able to take time to do. Rick just found out that next week he's off.
No.
Not next week.
I might.
You might be. But if you need to be,
probably
you will. See what I'm saying? God does not waste anything, and there are no coincidences when it comes to operations inside of the kingdom of heaven. Lots of coincidences outside in the kingdom of the world, but when God has a plan and you are operating inside that plan will happen according to the will of God.
As long as you let God
lead,
manage
it. Absolutely. I wasn't managing any of this. I was perfectly happy getting the pain was starting to rise in the tooth. I knew that I was going to need something really quick, and they're usually pretty good about that.
Dennis, already was infected. That infection would grow, and it would,
right.
A week later, you could be in serious trouble.
See, the thing that both of my dentists told me, the endodontist didn't know my, history, but I've had osteomyelitis of the spine. I've had a systemic, deadly infection. And this kind of thing in the tooth can go there. There is no, this is the kind of thing that with my compromised immune system, this actually could kill me. And so I look at this as something more than just the luck of the draw. My, how lucky you were to be able to get in that soon.
So, good morning, Rick. And now I'm going to go get my coffee.
Did we have prayer?
Oh, did I do prayer?
I don't think so. And I don't think you said what the date was.
The date is...
Coffee goes for coffee.
The date is November 18, 2016. Let's have prayer. Father, I said we were going to have prayer and then I got off. There we go. Father in heaven, thank you for granting. No, I did say a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this wonderful day. Continue to bless us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I did pray.
No.
I did.
We're not blessed.
You,
anyway.
Whatever. Now we're doubly blessed.
That's right.
We'll let Dennis have his coffee. When you wake up, what will you see? When you wake up, what do you see?
Probably light.
Actually, every day I wake up and I'm very glad I'm not looking at roots of the grass.
It's impressive. He had to leave his coffee over there to say that. Understand that what we expect as normal. We crawl into our bed at night and we wake up at some point in time. Some of us are fortunate to sleep through the night and wake up with the sun in the morning, and others wake up two or three times during the night or wake up a little earlier than the sun. But when we awaken, what do we expect to see? Well, what we've seen. I've lived in the same house for 35 years. The same house for 35 years, slept in the same bedroom for 35 years. And yes, the walls have been painted a different color. The carpet has been changed a couple of times. But the doors, the door that goes into the closet and to the bathroom and out into the stairway, the landing, or out onto the balcony, they've always been there. I know my way around in my bedroom. And when I wake up, that's what I am used to seeing. What if I woke up and nothing was the same?
You'd be confused.
Would I say, well, I know I haven't gone anywhere, so what I'm seeing cannot be real? Mm. What we have become used to, when that is changed or challenged or appears different, our first response is, I don't believe it. It can't be. How many times have I had a patient whose family, wife or husband or son, daughter, mother, father, have said to me, how could this happen? We didn't plan for this. We're going to Hawaii next week, or we're going on a cruise on Friday. How could this happen? It happens. Whether you expect it or not. It happens whether you want it or not. It happens. Why? Because it is real. You've heard the expression, as real as a heart attack.
And boy, do I know about that firsthand.
When something happens.
And by the way, people will tell you, and I'm sure you've heard the people say, well, you know, he died of a heart attack. I'm sure glad he went quick. I'm sure glad it didn't hurt. They have absolutely no idea what they're talking about.
And when they're experiencing a heart attack, they'll say, well, I'm not having a heart attack. I just have some indigestion. Yeah. I could not be having a heart attack.
Well, you were on the phone with me 1 minute before I had my heart attack. And the first call I made, by the way, I was on the phone with Rick, and we were talking over Spirit of Truth ministry business. And I hung up and I stood up. And I knew right then something was wrong. And I walked into the living room. I sat down. I called Rick and I said, Rick, here's what's going on. And Rick said,
I said, you need to get to Loma Linda now.
Right now.
And if you go by ambulance, they will take you to Redlands, but you need to be in Loma Linda because they will take you from Redlands to Loma Linda.
Yeah.
And that just adds another hour.
Yeah.
And of course, Dennis's wife was later on was questioning me because she said you wanted me to drive him down there.
No, I said, I told her that that you didn't want.
And fortunately it all worked out. Fortunately.
And I
figured that it would.
Yeah, and I'm very grateful because they were going to take me to Redlands, and they called Redlands and they said, but.
And I had said to you, don't let them take you to Redlands.
And so I told them, don't take me to Redlands. They want to go to, but we have to, we're under contract. And so I said, run another EKG on me. So they ran another EKG and says, oh, okay, we're calling off Redlands. We're going to take you to Loma Linda.
At that point, the ischemia started showing up.
Right.
And you were almost there.
Right.
Because they were ready to turn off to go to Redlands.
Right. Now, again, you work for the Kingdom of Heaven. Somehow, things are managed to your best interest, not for your sake, but for the sake of the kingdom. And this is one of the reasons why I know I'm doing exactly what God wants me to be doing right now, this instant.
I had a friend. Now, he was a friend because he was a patient of mine. And we developed a friendship he was in critical care for quite some time. He had had a heart attack and was in danger of having a fairly extensive further heart damage. His cardiologist had advised strongly and had done everything but force him to, which you can't do, of course, to go down to Loma Linda and have a heart cath and either bypass surgery or stent. And he said, well, you know, I have to do my girlfriend's taxes and her mother's taxes, and I have some other loose ends that I need to tie up, and I cannot go down for surgery until I have this done. And he was told, you may not survive. Well, that's just what I have to do. He was a person who was used to doing what he had to do. And of course, he had a massive heart attack while he was taking care of these loose ends and became a cardiac cripple.
Wow.
Sad. He did eventually end up early death. Why am I talking about this? I'll tell you after I share this experience with you. A friend of mine sometimes takes lunch the same time I'm taking lunch at work. And when we do, we usually sit at the same table. I mean, he's not like a real good close friend, but he's a friend. And it was probably a month ago when we had lunch. Now, of course, we don't usually have a whole lot of time when we have lunch. And I suggested that he read two texts. He's a very devoted church member. I said, read Deuteronomy 27:26 and the context around it. And then read Galatians 3:10 and the context around that. And then answer this question. Why would God pronounce a curse and then 1,500 years later kill his son to remove the curse that he pronounced? As Paul says. And my friend's first response this last, just 2-3 days ago, when I said, did you read those texts? Well, you know, I've had this and that, and, you know, I've looked at them. And so I said, well, look at them. He pulled out his phone. He has the Bible on his phone. He goes, he reads the text. He reads the other text. And I said, okay, and I said the same thing that I just said here. Why would God do that? Mm-hmm. To me, that would be proof that he is not God. Mm-hmm. His first response. So you're throwing out the Bible. You know, it's not, well, yeah, you know, why would God pronounce a curse here for not keeping the law, and then over here killing his son, first putting this curse on him, even though he kept the law, he put the curse on him and then killed him so he could remove the curse off of us who couldn't keep the law.
It wasn't trying to explain, okay, yeah, that's a good question. Why would God do that? It was, mm-hmm. So you're throwing out the Bible.
Wow. And it's becoming more and more evident that this kind of response is endemic.
Mm-hmm.
This is certainly not the only issue upon which people reject the use of logic. We're seeing it constantly now in the aftermath of the elections of 2016 because people are, we used to call it knee-jerk response, okay? Comes from the doctor's office where the doctor uses the little hammer and, you cross your leg and he just taps you on your knee or down at the base of your foot and all of a sudden your foot twitches. It's an autonomic response, and we are seeing autonomic negative responses to all sorts of issues. This goes directly to how you view salvation, and if you get it wrong, you are dead forever.
It goes directly on how you view God.
Exactly. That's exactly what
now,
I'm saying.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Your wife.
Sure.
She's a wonderful person.
No kidding.
And intelligent.
And the reason I know
that is hardworking.
She loves me anyway.
And her work has to the place where it is impossible to do what she is being asked to do.
Yes.
But she tries anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
They are putting her in an untenable position.
Because
that
when you say, it is impossible for anyone to do all this. Well, if you can't do it, we'll find someone who can. And it's like, well, you have a job, don't you? Yes. And you need your job? Yes. Then you will do your job.
But I wasn't hired to do this job.
That doesn't matter. Does not matter.
I know.
We accept what we are given because we are bound to do it, or else.
And by the way, the operation thing here is that Becky is not being asked to do this as a favor. She is being commanded to do this or else, just as you put it. And many, by the way, I find it fascinating to me that there are many people who view God the exact same way in relationship to the keeping of the commandments. Because they are saying in their hearts, God is commanding this, and I don't really want to do it, but I guess I have to. But many people take these texts that you were just talking about in Deuteronomy and in Galatians and say, now I don't have to. Thank God. God has freed me. And this is the difference between believing that you have been set free by God and knowing that you are a bond servant of God. And what you do is voluntary servitude because you have a debt that you cannot pay without dying forever.
What has been the great deceiver's greatest, most effective deception?
God won't really kill you.
To get people to believe that God didn't mean what he said, doesn't
mean what he says, and that God himself knows that he's asking you for more than you can give, and he will make it all right in the end. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. And let me remind you, in case you have forgotten, God does not lie. God has never lied. And to suggest that God doesn't mean what he says is to entertain the thought that God lies. However you want to look at it, if you don't want to call it a lie, if you just want to call it a misunderstanding, or if you just want to call it a misinterpretation, or something there is missing intentionally. Matthew 12. 25 through 30. I mean 11. I'm sorry, 11. Okay. At that time, Jesus answered and said, now understand that he is in this with his disciples. His disciples have just returned from their first missionary journey, their training exercise, if you will. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. What?
That's what I was just laughing at.
Praise thee because you've hidden this from the wise and intelligent and revealed it to babes.
You know, this, and you're learning something new every day. And this just reminds me that when you do what you did with your friend and you say, look at this and look at that, and he doesn't get it, he is fulfilling this. You know for sure that he is neither wise nor intelligent in this regard, in this field, in this area, because he doesn't see something that is as clear as day.
So if you are wise and intelligent, God is going to hide the truth from you.
If you claim that you are wise and intelligent, if you are not humble in front of God.
We again, our Lord and Savior is speaking in spiritual terms. Why? How do I know that? Because who's he talking to? His disciples?
To the wise and the intelligent.
No. I praise thee, O Father, mm-hmm. Lord of heaven and earth.
Right.
Who's he talking to?
His dad.
And what's he using? Spiritual words.
Yes.
Because he's talking to his Father. Well, he's saying it in the presence of his disciples, but he's talking to his Father. So what do you think his disciples hear? They hear their master saying that God has hidden these things from the educated, the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and all of those who sit in judgment upon the people. That God has withheld from them knowledge
and understanding.
And if he has withheld knowledge from them, what hope do the poor unknowledgeable people have. But their master says something they need to hear. Our master says something we need to hear. Didst reveal them to babes. Now, what does he mean, babes? Does he mean, like Nicodemus would say, well, how can I get back in my mother's womb and be born again? What is the Son of God's response to Nicodemus?
What? You don't know this?
You are a teacher of Israel, and you don't know this fundamental teaching. Why do they not? See, how does God do this? God does not do this on purpose. God constructs information so that the only way that it will be understood is if you have ears to hear and eyes to see. The words are there for everyone. The words are there for the wise and intelligent. They can read them. They can recite them. They can give them as authorization for who they are and what they are, and that they must be listened to for the experts that they are. But you see, they're like all who go to sleep in their bed at night and wake up in the morning to see the same thing. The same thing. And if they were to wake up in a whole different place, they would be totally lost and would not know what to do. And what do I mean by that? You see, if you change your paradigm, it is like have gone to sleep in one bedroom, the one you're used to, the one that never changes, and waking up in a completely different place. And what is your first response? I must be dreaming. Let me pinch myself. How can this possibly be? Where am I? How did I get here? Please, wake up so I can see what I recognize. Because I have no idea where I should go. So it is much safer, much more reassuring to stay with status quo, what you're used to. Safety. That's what we all want. Safety. That out there, outside the darkness, we don't know what it is. We don't know how to work with it. We don't even know how to live in it. What is out there beyond the darkness? It is the light. We've been talking about the judgment. And let's say, as God says, and I have no reason to differ with him on this, we all are asleep. And we sleep when it is dark. And when we wake up, what do we wake up to?
do we wake up to darkness and feel secure and safe, because that's what we've always awakened to? Or do we wake up and see some light, and we don't quite know how to deal with that? It's different. And of course, I'm talking in spiritual words. As a babe, we have not formed expectations. As a baby, we don't know that we're waking up in the same crib, in the same room. And if we wake up in our parents' bed, we don't feel out of place or threatened. But over time, as we establish our expectations and develop what we believe, what we know to be true, because it has always been and always will be, the same is true here. I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent. How did he hide them?
In plain sight.
He didn't put them in the darkness.
Yeah, he hid them in plain sight.
When you believe in the darkness and have been convinced by your fathers, those who have come before you, and their fathers, and their fathers, and their fathers' fathers, and their fathers' 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 fathers, all the way back. This has always been, and it always will be. It's what we know to be true, and our expectation is it will never change. And anything that comes against it to try and change it or to expose it as false must be resisted in the strongest terms by any means necessary. That is how it has been hidden. And yet, who are the babes? Who are the babes that the Father has revealed these things to? The disciples. The disciples. And remember, we talked about disciples. Who is a disciple? Well, people tell me the disciples are all dead.
That may be true in one sense, but we are still alive.
The disciples are all dead. John, contains something else. John contains many things. In fact, John really contains the whole picture. When you understand what John says, you see the whole picture. Matthew shows more of the picture, and not exactly as John shows it.
But one confirms the other.
Yes. John chapter 17, verse 20. The Son of God is praying to his Father. Again, when he's praying to his Father, what kinds of words is he using?
Spiritual words. spiritual identity.
But he's praying out loud with spiritual words, so why?
So his eyewitness disciples, those who are there with him right then, can hear it and write it down.
His disciples can hear it and write it down. John 17, verse 20. I do not ask in behalf of these alone. And by these, if you read on here earlier in the first, the verses just above that, what you see by what he means by these are his disciples. For their sake, I sanctify myself so that they may be truly sanctified. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth.
And I find it interesting because, again, we talk maybe a little bit blithely about it. For instance, when Jesus was in front of Pilate, here in front of his disciples, this was a perfect opportunity for him to have said, sanctify them by your grace. Sanctify them by just simply believing in me. Sanctify them by all sorts of things.
They are sanctified because they believe in me.
That is not what he said. And he iterates this and reiterates it time and time again, just like he did right here. I do not ask in behalf of these alone.
Well, that's where I'm going, Dennis.
But for those who also believe in me through their word.
Dennis is jumping ahead of me. I'm not there yet, Dennis.
Well, I know. But, you know, I get excited about this particular verse.
Well, I know, but you need to get there first.
It is an amazing statement that goes against so many beliefs of the Christian church.
The verse that I want to read before that one is verse 18. As thou, and its Father, has sent me into the world. Pause and think. As thou has sent me into the world. How? How did he send him into the world? The Father gave him a word. That word is called the testimony of Jesus. He delivers a testimony to what? People ask me, well, how do you know if it's a lie or not? How do you know what the truth is? I said, my standard of truth is the testimony of Jesus. Oh, yeah, of course it is. And I hold everything else to that standard. And if, according to 2 John, it goes beyond what the testimony of Jesus, the clear boundaries that the testimony of Jesus sets and establishes, it is a lie. And I said, when I put Paul's testimony next to the testimony of Jesus, it fails miserably the truth test. In fact, it contradicts not only the testimony of Jesus, but the law and prophets, even though there are texts from the law and prophets and Psalms in Paul's testimony. He changes the wording. He changes the context and makes his poor, ignorant Gentiles believe a lie. Why? Because they don't know what the law says. They didn't have the law. And the Jews don't care about Paul. He's the outsider. If the Gentiles want to believe him, that's fine with them. Now, the Jerusalem church, they see the Gentiles are trying to learn about Jesus, and they're trying to understand what he wants, and they recognize that Paul is telling them a lie. So they go to these churches that Paul establishes, and they said, look, this is what the truth is. We heard this. And what does Paul do? He fires back letters. What more do you need? You received the Spirit. Is there more proof that you need that I was telling you the truth? These guys are trying to make you obey something which you can't obey. And listen to me, I'm telling you, if you think that you can become righteous through your own good works, think again, because you don't even need Jesus if you think you can do it on your own. I mean, this is all lies, yet people swallow this. They wallow in it, and they believe it as if it were the God-given truth. And they praise God for grace and the assurance of salvation. As thou hast sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Now, Dennis, we go to verse 20. I do not ask in behalf of these alone. Yes, he is laying a huge responsibility upon his disciples.
A burden, as it were.
Huge responsibility. Because upon them depends the success and completion of what the Father sent his Son into the world to do. It depends on them. They are key, integral to the process. Why? That those, but I don't ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through
their words. Their words.
Does he say my words? Do you find that interesting? Do you find it interesting that he doesn't say my words? You see, right there is key. The Father told his Son what to say. This is what you say. Don't say any more. Don't say any less. Say this, because this is what your disciples must hear. And what they hear, they are going to say. They are going to write down. I will only preserve their words as they write them down. So the testimony you give will be what they write down. So what the Father is saying is that, and the Son is the only trustworthy source, comes from those who heard the words. The Son of God says, I speak only what my Father tells me. And his disciples here would say, we speak only what our Master has told us. And we read last week in John that Jesus told his disciples, when the Spirit comes, she will bring to your memory all
that I have taught you. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us. And the only way that can happen is through spiritual connection. That's the only way it can happen. That the world may believe that thou didst send me. Back to Matthew 11, verse 26. Yes, Father, for thus it was well pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. You remember that I have stressed, how much I have stressed the importance of knowing God. The woman at the well, when she says, you know, our fathers worshipped at this mountain, but you say that in order to worship God, we must worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, it is true that the true worshipers worship Jerusalem, that it has been given to the Jews. But I tell you the truth, a day is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit. Spirit, that's the only way you can understand the truth. And truth. You must know God in order to worship God in truth. If you are practicing a lie, even if you are fully convinced it is the truth, God does not honor sincerity in practice of lies. He does not honor sincerity and practice of lies because he has given us the truth. And the only reason that we wouldn't know the truth is we have decided that we are satisfied with the status quo, what we are used to, what we wake up to every morning. But the heart attack is coming, and when it comes, you can argue all you want. How can this be happening to me? I have plans for next week. This wasn't in my plans. This is not my normal. This is not the status quo. It is not happening to me.
And you will die in your belief.
And you will die in your belief because a heart attack doesn't honor your expectations and plans. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. There is a yoke. There is a connection. You are not set free. You just change the yoke that you bear.
Voluntarily.
Learn from me. Learn. Let me be your teacher. That's what the Son of God is saying. Let me be your teacher. Learn from me.
I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. But it is a yoke, and it is a burden. He's not saying, I will set you free. He's saying, you will serve me, but it won't be hard. It won't be impossible. I will never ask you for more than you can give. I won't say to you, well, if you can't take it, there will be someone who can. Leave. Do whatever you want. What I hope you don't find when you wake up in the darkness is that you are with a large group of people or following something or someone, following, and in the distance you notice a glimmer of light, and as you walk it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Before long, you're led into a huge building, and you look up, and you see the Father, and he looks at you and says, why? Why? Well, you know, I wasn't expecting this. I was doing what everybody else was doing. Well, did you expect me to throw out the whole Bible? Why didn't you make it clear? I mean, how can I love you? And he looks at you and says, why? Why? I did everything. I sent my son with the truth. Why didn't you listen to him?
Well, you can't blame me for that. How am I supposed to know after 2,000 years that that's the truth? I love you. Don't you know? I pray to you. I worship with you. In church, I worship with you. I felt your spirit moving in me. And he looks at you and says, why? Why? And as you go through all your explanations and how...
excuses?
How, you know, how sincere you are. Well, just, you know, just let me go in. Let me go in. I will show you how honorable, how full of integrity, how much I love you. And he looks at you and goes, why? I've already given you that chance. And you rejected it. You chose another way. Why? What will you say? What more can you say?
There's only one thing in this universe that God is powerless to do, and that is to coerce someone into salvation against their will. Thank you, Rick. That was a terrific study. In fact, it was so terrific that I lost track of time, and I didn't give you the 15-minute warning like I was supposed to. But see, it went by so fast. Anyway, thank you for joining us. We'll see you all here tomorrow for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, and a week from today for another edition of The Bible on Trial. So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. We'll see you tomorrow.